Good afternoon. I'm here today to announce the actions I will take to balance our budget for fiscal year 2010. In July of 2008, while our state was still recovering from our worst natural disaster in Iowa's history, our revenue was strong and reliable. Not long after that, however, the result of failed policies in Washington and bad practices on Wall Street were beginning to be felt in Iowa, along with every state across the nation. In December of last year, the REC met and unanimously approved lower revenue estimates for Iowa. At that time, I did what I'm obligated to do. I balanced the state's budget by implementing a 1.5% across-the-board cut. This past March, the REC met and unanimously approved the official revenue estimate for the current fiscal year. That was the basis for the balanced budget approved by the legislature and signed by me early this summer. In recent months, the decline in revenue became dramatic. For example, last month alone, in September, revenue dropped by more than 5%. And yesterday, the REC approved unanimously another estimate that projects a decline of 8.4% in revenue for the current fiscal year, a loss of nearly $415 million. The fact is clear, Iowa has not spent too much. Rather, our revenue has taken a dramatic and sudden decline as a result of this national economic recession. Our state is faced with simple but painful choices: to increase revenue, cut spending, or both. I have been clear on this. I will not raise taxes on hardworking Iowans. As governor, I have two options to cut spending. I can implement an across-the-board cut or call the legislature into a special session. I have ruled out a special session for two reasons. First, the outcome of a special session would be uncertain. Second, the effects of a special session and any action taken could take several weeks to actually be implemented. So I believe I need to act today. Therefore, I've decided to implement an immediate across-the-board cut in state spending. I arrived at this decision after a lot of thought and deliberation. So this afternoon, I will be signing Executive Order Number 19 to implement an across-the-board cut of 10%, which becomes effective today. After the REC meets in December, I will consider asking the legislature, to the extent at all possible, to backfill funding in three key areas. First is basic health care services, especially for our children. Second is public safety, in particular, correctional officers, troopers, and others on the front lines to keep our communities safe. Third is workforce development. Iowa has lost nearly 50,000 jobs in the past year, and we need to ensure that these Iowans who have lost their jobs or will lose their jobs, including state employees impacted by these cuts today, have the support they need during these challenging times for them and for their families. Let me conclude with the following points. First, some programs will continue without costing the state any revenue, such as our effort to prevent the new flu in Iowa. Second, I am appointing Joni Clausen, my deputy, as my special liaison to the unions representing state employees to help address the reduction in our state government workforce. Third, I'm calling upon the legislature to make the first bill they pass in January to require public school districts to spend money from their cash reserves rather than raising property taxes to make up for the loss of revenue as a result of this across-the-board cut. I believe these steps will get us to January, at which time we begin work on the fiscal year 2011 budget. In the meantime, my administration will do a line-by-line review of the more than 250 budget items in the state budget to identify and recommend further reductions in state government spending. This is a tough decision, but I believe it reflects our Iowa values of common sense and fiscal responsibility. This is not a challenge we've asked for, but it is one that we will meet together as Iowans. Thank you. 10% is about $600 million.
And why so big? I mean, the deficit they gave you was $400 million.
Because we have no certainty that this situation will not get worse before it gets better. So we're preparing, I think, prudently for the future. The December REC meeting will be critically important, and I do not want, secondly, to have to come back and address the 2010 budget again, if at all possible, so that everyone involved, all the state agencies, for example, will know with certainty what they are going to be required by law to cut. It is unclear at this time, certainly hundreds of state employees, and that's why I've asked Joni Clausen to start working immediately with the departments and with state employees to figure out precisely how we're going to go about that layoff procedure. They will have some flexibility. Essentially, they will be given a target in terms of amount of money that they need to reduce their budgets by, and they will then implement those cuts and those layoffs accordingly. That's correct. And right now there is roughly $400 million in cash reserves in our 362 school districts. So as we tighten our belt, we're asking those local school districts to do the same. And we're going to have a fair amount. Obviously, some reserve is going to be important. And we will work with the legislature to determine that number. But in some cases, you have districts with 15-20% in reserves, and that's we would like to have them use a significant amount of that before they pass that on to the taxpayers in the form of a property tax increase. Well, this executive order only applies, by law, I only have the authority to apply it to the executive branch of state government. So the legislature and the judicial branch need to make their own adjustments. And I have talked to the Democratic leadership. They are going to move forward on at least an 8.5% cut. And I will have conversations with Chief Justice Ternus about her decision on what cuts that she's going to recommend for the judicial branch. Well, we're talking about roughly $30 million, and it really depends on what the REC says. We also think it is imperative to have a year-ending balance, so of roughly $150 million is our goal. So that's back to Mike's question. That's another reason that we went to 10, is we think it is really important to have an ending balance to give us some additional cushion. We're only 3 months into the fiscal year, so even if the REC comes back in December with some good news in terms of no further decline in revenue, we still have to get to March. And so to have an appropriate level of cushion, so we're really not talking about having much in terms of backfill, but the most essential services in terms of public safety and health of our children, we're going to try to put some back in there. But everyone will see a cut, a significant cut. No, in fact, starting today, they're all getting 10%. So I'm going to ask those directors to expect that they're going to have a 10% cut. And if the REC comes back in December and we have the ability to restore some of these cuts in those areas that I've highlighted, we will. But there's no certainty at this time.
At what point are the captains on the table?
Not on the table. Well, I believe that we can get through the fiscal year 10 without raising taxes on hardworking Iowans. I think the other opportunity we have, as I've outlined today for fiscal year 11, is to look at how we budget, look at where we can find efficiencies, any cost savings. We're going to have to change the way that we look at budgeting given this worldwide recession. So I think the across-the-board cut today coupled with a lean, effective budget for 2011 that will include additional cuts in all likelihood will allow us to also move forward without raising taxes. Yeah, the latter. Their plans essentially have to be approved by the Department of Management. So, for example, Corrections has to cut roughly $40 million, and they will have to present that plan to Dick Oshlow and the Department of Management, and we will either approve it or we'll send it back and say that we'd like you to find some cuts in some other areas so that we can perhaps keep public safety in one vital area staffed at a higher level.
What's their deadline?
Their deadline is as quickly as humanly possible. The sooner we can... These cuts are taking a place starting today. So the reductions will go... we will start cutting today, and the sooner that they can have the plan, the better they're going to be able to manage through this challenging period.
Governor, you said these cuts represent Iowa values. What do you mean by that?
Fiscal responsibility. Every Iowa family has had to tighten their belt. They've had to do more with less. They've had to be. This is a tough, challenging time. Our backs are against the wall, but we're not going to run and hide. We're going to deal with it head on, like every Iowa family is. And those are the kinds of values that Iowans expect their political leaders to adhere to. Yes, that's a concern. There is a maintenance of effort requirement for some of the federal stimulus dollars for education, for example. But there's also a waiver procedure that states can go through to ask for a waiver based on economic challenges, based on shortfalls in revenue. And yes. We will absolutely provide that to you as this afternoon as soon as we can get you a spreadsheet on exactly what 10% means for every department. It is possible that as a part of the layoff, as a part of the budget reduction plan that each department director submits to the department management, they could recommend eliminating entire programs to get to their target number. Again, we're going to be very engaged with the department directors in terms of their their plans of action to deal with these cuts, and we'll look on a case-by-case basis at those. But there's, I think it's fair to say that everything is on the table and needs to be. Well, the economic cash reserve is something that we're going to continue to need in the future. So, for example, this fiscal year 10 budget included a couple hundred million dollars from the cash reserve. So we've already drawn down a third of the reserves just for 10, and we're still short. So we are trying to go through a process here where we make cuts and still have the reserve or some of those reserves, which we will likely need in 11. See, that's the other fact here is 2011 is going to be more difficult than 10. So we need a significant amount of those reserves to apply for 11. And otherwise, the cuts would have to be more dramatic now. I'd also say to them that we are dealing with, as I said yesterday, uncharted waters. This is the Great Recession. It's as bad as it's been in this country in terms of our economy since the Great Depression. This is having an effect around the world. You have Puerto Rico, for example, has had to lay off 32,000 state employees. The state of California is proposing to take health care away from 1 million children. The effects of this are going to continue to hit home. And this is a result of when you have revenues falling off 8.4%, you've got to make adjustments. Well, we will keep you posted on exactly what it means as soon as we know it. What I can tell you is yesterday morning I learned that revenue was short $414 million. Today we're signing an executive order to get the budget balanced, and we will let you know about precisely how many layoffs this will require in every department of state government. Well, I think I answered that. We are concerned. We want to try to be helpful through workforce development, for example, to provide some help and services that are going to be required across this state. That's what workforce development offices do. They help people find training programs. They help them update their resume. They help them prepare for interviews. So that's one reason I'm trying to find, if at all possible, in December, some additional funds for workforce development. They also need to know this is completely out of our control. It's a result of failed fiscal policies in Washington, D.C. and bad and sometimes criminal practices on Wall Street. We had a financial collapse like we haven't seen since the Great Depression, and this is a consequence of that. To have revenues drop off 8.4% in just the first 3 months of the fiscal year, it's never happened before. And finally, I'm required by law to act. That is not something that I've taken lightly. It's a tough decision, but I am required under the Constitution to do it, to balance this budget.
Governor, looking back, is there anything you could have done differently?
No, there is not. We based our budget on the March Revenue Estimating Conference projections. They said that we would have basically $414 million than we have today when we put that budget together. And that's how every governor and every legislature for decades has put their budget together, based on those Revenue Estimating Conference projections. They are the ones that are supposed to give us some indication of where the state's going to be in terms of revenue collections. And it wasn't until yesterday, after the first quarter, when the REC is required to meet by law, that we knew with certainty how far off those revenues have fallen. First of all, it's not possible to do a one-day special session with targeted cuts. You're talking about 250 line items. And that was ultimately one concern that I had. We can't wait. We cannot delay. We have to act. It would have required some time to get all of the legislators back. We would have had 150 different opinions on where to cut strategically, how much to cut, and that's all healthy. That's expected, and I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't be entitled to their opinion. But the fact is, we need to act. We need to move. That's where there's the uncertainty. Would it take 5 days? Would it take 3 days? How long will it take to secure 51 votes in the House and 26 votes in the Senate? This shouldn't be about partisan politics, but so you have 150 representatives with divergent interests and ideas on how to balance this budget. I was concerned that it could take literally weeks and weeks to find an agreement. I don't think the people of Iowa can afford to wait. No, the conversations about efficiencies, cost savings, we're going to move forward, as I said, to get ready for the 2011 budget. That's going to require a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations with state employees, with Board of Regents, with school boards, with every interest group that has a stake here at the Capitol with respect to our budget. So we're actually going to need more communication, more cooperation, hopefully more bipartisanship than ever before to get through this tough economic time.
Do you think that'll be difficult, being that the cuts start today, though, and decisions have to be made today?
No, I don't. I think they understand that this is a serious economic challenge and that I was limited in terms of what I had the authority to do under the Constitution to deal with it. And so I believe that they will understand that this is the best option that I had.
You talked about efficiencies for 2011, but are there any shorter-term efficiencies that can be implemented now?
Yes, and we continue to work with department directors on finding those efficiencies. We've already cut the budget by $135 million. So fiscal year 10 is 2.5% less than fiscal year 8. We found a lot of those savings through efficiencies. We've reduced travel, for example, 40%. We've cut in terms of memberships and conferences and some of those things. We have gone through, since last December, a very aggressive efficiency review that is now concluding with a timely statewide process led by Senator Stacey Apple and Representative Mary Masher. So we're going to both continue to find any and all savings every single day in state government and put on the table when the legislature comes back some new creative efficiency-related ideas. They could include some early retirement options. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of state employees that might be interested in early retirement, but they have serious questions about their health care. And we have a gap between the age of 60 and 65 where some of those employees would like to retire, but they're not sure how they're going to make that work in terms of having health care for themselves and their families. So we're looking now very creatively. We're getting some private sector involvement in how can we deal with that challenge. And there will be other examples. As I said today, I will lay out in as clearly and as precisely as I can those recommendations, because I'm the one that has to present the 2011 budget to the legislature in late January. Absolutely. It is an honor and a privilege to serve this great state as the governor. But, you know, these are tough decisions. But I'm up to the job. People expect us to make these tough decisions. And I feel good about the process that we've gone through in terms of responding to these crises, whether it's a natural disaster, a pandemic, or the economic challenges that have all occurred on my watch. And I will continue to fight for the people that I'm honored to represent.
Will this make a bad situation worse? Unemployment already is on the rise. The participation in human services programs is on the uptick. And it looks like this is going to add to that unemployment and strain the safety net.
You're right. It's a concern. We are on going through a very tough economic downturn. I believe that our iJobs initiative, our investment in putting people to work, in modernizing our infrastructure, and spending more than we've ever spent before in terms of roads and bridges, I believe that will have a tremendous impact in a positive way on allowing us to work our way out of this recession. That's why I fought for the iJobs initiative last session. Those projects are going to be happening all over this state. We're going to have flood recovery opportunities. We're going to be rebuilding thousands of new homes, thousands of apartment units, flood recovery, infrastructure investment through iJobs. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to continue to work on modernizing our infrastructure and recovering from and rebuilding from the flood as a way to counter this economic downturn, which is precisely why I led the effort last session to get it passed. And that, I hope, will really ultimately allow us, along with the stimulus money, allow us to weather this economic storm long term. But for now, we've got to deal with the facts as we know them, and that's why today I called for this 10% across the board cut. Yeah, it's going to have a negative impact. It's going to be a very tough thing for every Iowan to deal with. We had 900,000 people that received services from the Department of Human Services this year, a record number. We're not going to be able to provide the same services at the same level because of a $414 million shortfall. So what I have said today is I hope to be able to, in those urgent care situations, health care for our children, health care possibly for the most vulnerable seniors, to backfill some of these cuts. But I cannot responsibly do that until I know what the REC says in December. Thank you all very much.